Back in the early 1990s, there was a major battle that took place between several of our colleagues on the East Coast and the American Dental Association. It all started when the ADA began to buckle to the insurance industry's demands of eliminating reimbursable dental codes. And the code that placed our colleagues on the battlefront, the code that the ADA put up for elimination, was D9210, local anesthesia. We begin our podcast right there.
Computers are live, mixers up, levels are good, equalizers good, ready channels 1 and 2. Mic is live in 3, 2, 1, roll it. Welcome, listeners, to the My Practice, My Business podcast, where we teach dentists and their teams how to reclaim forgotten profitability in dentistry with our clinical business of dentistry training. And now, the host of our show, the clinical director at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Dr. Rob with My Practice, My Business. Thanks for being here today. Local anesthesia, suturing, and the ADA. We need your help. That's the title of our podcast. Here we go. Several years ago, I was asked to be an insurance reviewer for a local dental insurance company who happened to be a major player here in Utah. I know what all of you are thinking right now. Rob, tell me you didn't say yes to working with the enemy. You've all heard the phrase, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Of course I said yes. It was a one-year stint, and I thought I might learn some things that I might not already know, and I was right. I did learn a lot. Each week, I was given a stack of claims I had to review for payment. I was given the parameters of the insurance company's protocols, yet it was ultimately up to me to approve the dental claims, your claims, for payment. The honesty and integrity, though, that I witnessed from the dental claims with attached x-rays I saw each week from all of you was exceptional. I honestly could not find reason to deny any claim that passed my desk, which I believe was the reason they released me a few months earlier from my original contract. I'm just saying. But it really was awesome because I saw everybody who was submitting claims had honor and integrity that made my day. How could I not pass them with a stamp of approval? What absolutely shocked me the most was noticing that about half of the claims I processed had local anesthesia being charged out. Let me say this again. The code D9210, local anesthesia, was being billed on a regular basis with about 20% of the claims I processed. I was always told that local anesthesia was to be included with all dental procedures. Like many of you, at that time, I had read but had not completely studied the CDT codebook. Shame on me. I know what some of you are thinking right now. You have never read, let alone studied, the CDT codebook. That's what my office manager is for. Chances are, he or she has not read nor studied it either. That's a problem that I pointed out on an earlier podcast. Study that book, people. Get with it. Back on topic, it was fun to see dental claims come across my desk with dental codes that are only taught in our clinical business of dentistry team training courses. I would ignore the name of the practice when first looking at the charged out codes, and most would have the typical codes for certain procedures most practices would charge out, unknowing the underutilized CDT codes they could be charging out. Then I would see a claim where layering of codes was shown as we teach here at MPMB, and I would look at the name of the doctor and smile as it was always an office we had trained here at My Practice, My Business. They understood how to layer codes for services rendered and not bundle them so they could actually be paid fairly for what they provide their patients. Going back to seeing this anesthetic code being used by roughly 20% of our colleagues, I quickly realized how absolutely brilliant it was that local anesthesia was being billed out. Did this particular dental insurance company I worked for cover this code? No. Did that mean that it should not be charged out? No again. One of the docs who was routinely charging out this code just happened to be one of our earlier clients here at MPMB, I immediately gave him a call to get more insight on this superb protocol that they must have been doing in their office. I asked him how long he had been charging out this code on his patients. He told me he had begun doing so 2 months after attending our training, which had concluded 8 months prior. He added that our training had given him a business insight unlike any other dental business training he had received. And he realized that if medical could charge out this code, we should be able to do so in dental. He also reminded me of the battle that had taken place with the ADA and our East Coast colleagues back in the 90s. He said to me, "Look at the beginning of each of the categories in the CDT codebook and tell me what you see." We learned through our investigation that there was a key word the ADA placed in their statement at the beginning of each category of the dental procedures to appease our colleagues who went to battle on our behalf. That word is the word usually. Let me read what it says, and I want you to look it up for yourself. Quote, "Local anesthesia is usually included ... for endodontic procedures, for restorative procedures," end of quote. I mean, it just depends on what category you're looking at. The word usually does not mean always, like dental insurance companies want you to believe. In that battle back in the 90s, the ADA brilliantly did not delete the anesthetic codes in the CDT codebook, nor are most PPO contracts void of those codes and the related fees for reimbursement. Did you hear what I just said? Isn't that interesting? Or at least it should be to you and your team. Our East Coast colleagues who battled on our behalf to be able to charge out fairly for services you and I provide completely understood the importance of holding their ground on local anesthetic. Just look at what dental insurance companies have been trying to do with forcing us to bundle buildups with our crown codes. Need I say more? With that being said, my practice, my business, we are engaging the ADA today, right now, through the rest of this year. We're engaging them to have the anesthesia headers of each dental procedure category removed. In addition to the bundling of suturing, we believe, as do most of our colleagues, the large majority, that even the word usually should not even be there, as it is misleading to our patients, let alone the dental office managers. Yes, our poor dental office managers who have to deal with the verbiage of EOBs from PPO plans on a daily basis. In addition, under the oral surgery section, it's weirdly stated that local anesthesia and suturing should be included with all surgical procedures where teeth are removed. We are also asking the ADA to remove that wording as it promotes the bundling of procedures, which, according to the ADA Centers for Professional Success, is potentially fraudulent. Some of you may not even know that this is what it says at the beginning of the D7000 codes. Extractions, then in parentheses, includes local anesthesia, suturing if needed, and routine postoperative care, end of parentheses. So that's the thing that's driving us crazy. That's bundling. You can't do that. It's potentially fraudulent when you do not disclose all things you do and charge for them. Our key points for the removal of these words in the ADA CDT codebook are as follows. Number one, medical doctors and medical facilities charge for local anesthesia and suturing. By the way, local anesthesia, you all know, is local anesthetic, just in case there's some team members listening that don't know that. Therefore, why is dentistry discriminated against for being able to charge for these procedures? That makes no sense. Two, local anesthesia and suturing carries with it a cost of goods, and dentists should not be forced, no coerced, into giving them away for free. That makes no business sense. Giving them away is not a courtesy to our patients. It's actually a real expense to our practices that adds up over the fiscal year and decreases our already compromised profit margins with PPO plans, let alone some of our fee-for-service fees. Number three, the ADA Centers for Professional Success states that claims bundling is the systematic combining of distinct dental procedures by third-party payers that results in a reduced benefit for the patient beneficiary. The ADA considers bundling of procedures to be potentially fraudulent. Placing statements at the beginning of each dental category that completely implies the bundling of anesthesia and suturing is in direct opposition to the ADA statement I just stated. In addition, the combining of anesthesia and suturing for any extraction has the same implications. End of the top 3 points. Our 3 key points for the proposed changes by the ADA in the CDT codebook can be taken one step further. It's a step that the large majority of dental professionals, you and your teams, don't routinely look at, but you should. It comes down to the clinical business of dentistry. If you look at your direct operating costs of your practice per hour and you look at how much time you take for a surgical extraction, you can quickly see just how upside down you are when providing this surgical extraction procedure, or nearly any extraction for that matter. At My Practice, My Business, we ran the numbers for the average dental practice. The data I'm about to reveal in the Rocky Mountain State should shock all of you. And for those of you who are in other parts of the country or the world, the actual percentages are very similar. So pay attention. The average practice has a direct operating cost of $280 to perform just one surgical extraction. That does not include the use or billing of local anesthesia or sutures if needed. Those two products would increase the direct operating cost per hour. What was even worse, the average fee-for-service fee in the 80th percentile was $264, not even the $280 of the direct operating cost it takes to run your business. That's $16 less than the average break-even number of $280. Then the fun part comes into play. The reimbursement rates of 7 of the major PPO plans range from a low of $123 to a high of $175 for a surgical extraction. This break-even analysis is precisely why one of our recent clients stopped doing extractions in her practice and simply referred them out to the oral surgeon to deal with. She was pretty brilliant when she actually looked at her DOC per hour. But there are other things we can do to cause extractions to be very profitable. It's called ridge preservation. That's on another podcast. Back to this one. When dental health care providers, you and I, are literally forced, coerced, and even bullied by verbiage on EOBs or phone calls with the insurance companies into bundling our fees with common dental procedures, procedures where there are separate CDT codes that can and should be charged to our patients so that we can be paid fairly for our services, it becomes difficult and in some cases impossible to run profitable, high-quality practices. This is why we need your help. We have contacted the ADA and are jumping through the protocols right now to end this verbiage in the CDT codebook that is forcing you to bundle anesthesia and suturing. Those costs of goods are not free to you or your business. Therefore, they should not be free to your patient. The lady who is helping us with this major project has been very helpful. Yet she told us this is not the first time the elimination of this verbiage on anesthesia and suturing has been attempted. However, she did indicate our argument is stronger than the last attempt, and we feel it is too. We need to gather as many signatures as we possibly can. Please email us at My Practice, My Business. The email is Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at mypracticemybusiness.com, and request the ADA form we have from her. It's already filled out and just needs your signature after you read through it. Please read it so you can see just how important this project is to help all of us be able to charge fairly for the procedures we do, namely anesthetic and suturing. Once you sign the form, please email it back to Tracy. Don't hesitate to call us if you want more information. Our contact info is also on our website at mypracticemybusiness.com. I hope all of you listening today will forward this podcast to your colleagues so that we can obtain as many signatures as possible and get the ADA to help us stop the bundling of procedures on these two items. At My Practice, My Business, our thought leadership is always focused on doing more for all of us who provide the best in oral health care for the patients we serve. And that is all of you listening today. Thank you so much for tuning into the My Practice, My Business podcast. You can find additional podcasts you may have missed that will help you with your dental practice at Apple iTunes Podcasts. And remember to become a subscriber to our podcast. Many of you have asked how to help support the My Practice, My Business podcast. If you have enjoyed the program and information you received today, the best way to help is to leave us a 5-star review. Thanks again for allowing us to be a part of your day.